Blog Talk Radio.
Atlanta, Minneapolis, Nashville, and everywhere else.
Democratic nominee, I made you a vow. In our Georgia, no one would be unseen, no one is unheard, and no one is uninspired. But we know a vow takes effort. It takes commitment to hold truth. Reaching out, reaching across is hard work. But as I told you then, hard work is in our bones. And we have proven this every single day, Georgia, with doors knocked, with calls made, with miles traveled, with prayers prayed to the highest heaven. And tonight we have closed the gap between yesterday and tomorrow. But we still have a few more miles to go. But let's hear me clearly. That, too, is an opportunity to show the world who we are. Because in Georgia, civil rights has always been an act of will and a battle for our souls. And because we have been fighting this fight since our beginnings, we have learned a fundamental truth. Democracy only works when we work for it. When we fight for it. When we demand it. And apparently today, when we stand in lines for hours to meet it at the ballot box, that's when democracy works. But I'm here tonight to tell you, votes remain to be counted. There are voices that are waiting to be heard. Across our state, folks are opening up the dreams of voters in absentee ballots, and we believe our chance for a stronger Georgia is just within reach. But we cannot seize it until all voices are heard. And I promise you tonight, we're going to make sure that every vote is counted. Every single vote. Every vote's getting counted. Because I'll tell you this, in a civilized nation, the machinery of democracy should work for everyone everywhere, not just in certain places and not just on a certain day.
To WMRDB election 2018, the aftermath. What next? So we have our host Sandy Tunit and Joe Handy Sewell and myself Karima. So there's some ongoing legal efforts are not about Stacey Abrams. They're about protecting our democracy and ensuring every eligible Georgian voice is heard. So there's some trending topics, but I want to bring in our host, Ms. Sandy Pruitt. Sandy, welcome to the show.
Hi, good evening, everybody, and welcome to tonight's show on WAMRDB, the Woman's Station. Tonight's topic is Election 2018, the aftermath, what's next? Joining me tonight, I have a special guest with me tonight, Ms. Jo Candy Sewell. Welcome aboard, Jo.
Good evening, Sandy, and your wonderful audience.
Before we get started, Jo, why don't you tell us just a little about yourself?
Oh,
I can tell you, introduce her a little. She's retired from retail executive. She's had 45 years of being a community activist, social justice ministry director at Beulah Missionary Baptist Church. She lives in DeKalb County. She's married with one adult son. And she has a lot of information to share with us tonight. So, Jo, I'm going to let you start off and just tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Thank you so much, Sandy, and thank you for this opportunity to speak in support of civil rights and the protection of a constitutional right to vote. It doesn't matter who you are, what party you're affiliated with, what color your skin. If you are a United States citizen, you are eligible to register to vote when you become 18 years old in these United States. That is now a constitutional right of all citizens. And as we know, hundreds of people died to protect that right. We've gone in and out of legislation to curtail those rights, and now we're at another historical point in this nation's history, especially here in Georgia. Georgians voted on November the 6th to possibly elect the first African-American woman in these United States to the governorship. And now we stand tonight, and it is Friday night, 3 days later, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, 3 days later, and we have not had all of those votes counted. People stood in line for hours and hours and hours to vote. And some of those votes haven't been counted. They haven't even been found in some counties. Now, sadly, this is not only happening in Georgia, but it's happening in several states throughout the United States. And there seems to be a pattern with this. Wherever there's a shift in the population, it seems to be brown, yellow, red, and black. There are big question marks as to those validity of the election process. We look at South Dakota, where the Indians have not been able to vote because they don't have an address, that they have never had an address. They didn't have an address in May when they voted. Yet this time, they were totally disenfranchised. Here in Georgia, we've had the signature match. We've had absentee ballots lost, absentee ballots not returned. We have a candidate who is on the ballot, but also the overseer of the election process. Something is wrong with this. And we all feel it. We all know it. We know how it looks. We know how it smells. Right now, as we went on the air, at 8 o'clock, ballots were being counted. At 8 o'clock, that was the final time that ballots, absentee ballots, provisional ballots could be counted. There are still attorneys and legal people looking at this. So it's not over. As you heard in Stacy's speech as this broadcast opened, this is not over. We understand that votes are supposed to be certified on this coming Tuesday. Now, we just had the person who is Stacy's opponent step down as Secretary of State, and we have an acting Secretary of State, an African-American female, Ms. Robin Critton, who is former, or most recently, the Commissioner of Georgia's Department of HR. Ms. Crittenden lives in DeKalb County. She lives in Tucker. And from what I understand, she's also a registered Republican. She was just appointed by Governor Nathan Deal. Now, she is going to certify, if you will, the votes on Tuesday. A lot of questions and a lot of legal questions still remain. I would say,
I think that's personal, where the aftermath is coming in. That's the question of the aftermath. What's next?
What's going to happen? That's the aftermath.
Right. What's going to happen now? People have voted. There's a lot of people that went out to vote. There's a record
Absolutely.
Number of people voted. But there's
Absolutely.
Also a record number of people that's feeling totally disenfranchised, feeling totally angry because something that's a fundamental right, that's a guaranteed constitutional right, is being toyed with, being played with, being manipulated. And for me, when I look at the aftermath, it's a lot more than just whether Stacy wins or Stacy loses, but that's important because we know that the manipulation of the voting, the gerrymandering, the redistricting, and all of that would have an effect on it. But it also means that the people that you have in office will now have the opportunity to go even further in disenfranchising people. And what we need to understand is, it's like Joe said, it's not just African Americans, it's not just people of color. If you disenfranchise one person, you're disenfranchising everyone, because
everyone.
By taking that person's right away this week and nobody stands up or steps up to defend that person's constitutional right to vote or to exercise their right to vote, what happens next week when it's you whose vote they want to stop from coming in? And
absolutely.
It's important that we get that everybody is able to vote, that everybody has that right to vote, that right is not tampered with, is not manipulated by anyone, because when we vote, we're having an opportunity to say, these are the values that I believe in, these are the things that I believe in, this is what I want for my kids, this is what I want for my family, this is what I want for my community, whether it's better education, better schools, the infrastructure, banking laws, the laws in the city, your government, whatever it is, your right to vote, and it's what makes all of this possible. And if you aren't able to have a say, go ahead, Karima.
Sandy, this is Joe. And what will actually happen on Tuesday? And there is another expert. There's an expert, really. I'm not an expert. That's on the phone with us, who is a political analyst and a statistician, and was just recently, and most recently, is still involved in watching what's happening in the race in Florida. His name is Fred Hicks. He's on the phone with us. So I do know that, and he's going to have to leave in a short minute, and I want him to get in. But on Tuesday, this will be satisfied. And at that point, a decision will be made whether either one of the candidates got the 50 plus one, and then a winner would be declared, or if neither one of the candidates got the 50 plus one, then we go to a runoff. If I'm not mistaken about that, Fred, am I correct? Fred Hicks,
yes,
are you on
you
the
are
line?
Correct, Joe. Yes. Can you all
okay.
hear me? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah,
yeah.
Hi, Fred.
Yeah.
How you doing?
Yeah.
And welcome to
yeah.
tonight's
hey.
Show.
Yeah.
Welcome to tonight's
thank
show.
Thank you. Thank you. And I'm glad to be here. And yes,
and
Joe,
Fred,
you are correct. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Can you go ahead and expound on what that looks like?
Absolutely. So the battle right now is to get as many votes counted, and the hope is that you can pull down Secretary Kemp's percentage of the vote to below 50%. In Georgia, you have a 50-plus-1 rule. So if he falls below 50%, then that will trigger a December 4th runoff. Now, if he falls below it, you can expect him to ask for a recount to try to get back over that. And that's just a process where they take the cards out of the machines and place them back in there. And rarely does it change. Matter of fact, I don't know of a time in Georgia where a recount has actually changed the outcome of an election. So the goal right now is to get his figure under 50% so they can then go to a runoff. That runoff will be December 4th. Early voting will start right away. And then that will give Ms. Abrams an opportunity to win the election in December in a runoff.
Now, Fred, the other thing, when and if that goes, and then we've also heard some conversation, there might be even asking for a complete redo of the election. Is that even a possibility?
No, that's not going to happen.
Or is that's not constitutionally correct, is it?
I don't believe so. I mean, there might be some provision for it, but the governor and the secretary of state would have to sign off on that, and they're not going to do that.
Yeah, they're not going to do that. So then the process goes, candidates come back out to their constituents, and we really would have to do a full court press on getting people back out to the polls to cast their ballot.
We would have to do,
and Fred, this is what I need to make sure about, because, you know, I'm like, okay, do we try to do this again? Because I'm a big proponent of the absentee ballot process. You get everybody, and then you turn in these absentee ballots, they get counted, and then that kind of helps these long lines at the polls of people getting off, and now I don't know which poll to go to. So, I think I probably know the question, the answer. Candidates are probably going to ask us to do some of all of it. Absentee ballot
voting.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of the controversy right now is around the absentee ballot program or absentee ballot option. So you have people, I have someone in Albany, as a matter of fact, who returned theirs, and it's not showing that they returned theirs. They returned on October 29th, so in enough time ahead of the deadline. So a lot of the controversy right now deals with the absentee ballots. The exact match, the 92,000 ballots in Gwinnett County that were rejected were absentee ballots that were rejected, saying that the signature didn't match. And so whereas that is something we've pushed, you know, in years past and including this year, I suspect that if there is a runoff, that the push would be to get people to vote early in person as opposed to by mail. Let's go around.
Exactly, because we're all now skittish about absentee ballots because one of the candidates who's running the election was caught on tape saying, hey, look, we might have a problem because everybody else is going to vote absentee ballot. So, you know, I'm wondering if that mindset went out and somebody just happened to misplace absentee ballots or absentee ballots didn't get mailed back in and all these other
things.
Well,
I don't think it's a such thing of just happened to misplace
I'm really being facetious.
If the ballots aren't there, that was an intentional thing for the ballots not to be there. But my concern is, you know, once all this, once the dust has settled, once all this is happening and the count goes through, and if for whatever reason the results remain that the Kemp is now the new governor, what's next? Where do we go from here? What do the people do from here? What do we do? Go ahead.
Well, I know there's an easy answer to that. There's a runoff, a December 4th runoff that is going to take place for what? The Secretary of State's position.
Secretary of State.
So
that's exactly right. And that is so critical, Sandy, and people need to realize that. There are actually three key runoffs. Not only the governors, but the Secretary of State. The Democratic candidate is John Barrow, and the Republican candidate is Brian, let's see, what is his name?
Brad Raffensperger.
You want to make sure that the what next is, if it is a runoff December the 4th and early voting starting November the 30th or whenever they're going to finally decide to hit the button, you need to make sure that you vote for the Democratic candidate, John Barrow. Because if you don't, this stuff is going to happen again, which is even going to be worse in 2020.
So you're saying are you saying, Fred, that there is going to be a runoff, or is based on what this last results of the tallying of the ballot?
There's going to be a runoff. Both candidates are under. Yeah. You have three people running, and the two top vote getters are under 50%. So Democrats don't have to wait until 2020. You need to get out, and I'd urge you every time you're on air between now and December 4th to tell every single person who listens in or downloads or streams your show that they absolutely have to vote. If they are unhappy with what's happening in the governor's race, you have an immediate opportunity or an opportunity to immediately rectify that by electing a Secretary of State who is committed to making sure you have free and open and fair elections and who will not push for draconian laws like exact match. And that
so,
Fred, what happens to
the people who were disenfranchised, the people that went to the polls and found out that they were not registered, that they were not able to vote or were not allowed to vote? Is it too late for them to now register to vote to get if they thought they were registered and like the name match? The people who's been disenfranchised because their name didn't match. Are these people going to be allowed to cast their votes in the runoff?
So that depends on, that's up to the Secretary of State, the newly appointed mm-hmm. interim Secretary of State, and whether or not mm-hmm. she is going to allow that, permit that. So, you know, I can't say that's going to be the case. You know, the court ruling, NAACP, I think other groups got together and sued around Exact Match, and the judge ruled that, back-to-back judges ruled, rather, that it was unconstitutional because if your ballot was rejected, you had no way of appealing and that there needed to be an appeals process. So what can happen, and there are a lot of legal ways that things can happen, but once the Stacey Abrams thing is settled, although I think it should do it concurrently, there should be litigation filed to do just what you just suggested, to allow those people who were rejected to actually vote or to appeal their status so the final decision can be rendered for this upcoming election. Because, again, regardless of what happens with Stacey Abrams, there is a runoff for Secretary of State, and as Joe mentioned, there are other positions, but we're talking about election protection. And so there is going to be a runoff, regardless of what happens with Stacey Abrams.
Mm-hmm. Brian mm-hmm. Okay, so what happens to the people that had mail-in ballots, that mail their ballots in? Would there be a time that they can do that? I know that I heard Joe say something about early voting going on. So, and I know that means that people like me, I can go to the poll and vote early. But what mm-hmm. about you have people that mail their ballots in? You know, you have people that's other places that yeah. mail their ballots in. Will they be allowed to still vote? Because my understanding is that a lot of the ballots that were that's missing or that's questionable are from those mail-ins.
Yeah, so
they would
still
have to do it again. They would have to. They would have to redo, Sandy, their vote.
But will there be time for them? Are they allowing time for them to get those back?
That's what I was saying about the early voting on the website right now. The tentative date for early voting to begin is November 30th, but then election day is December 4th, which is another thing that ACLU, NAACP, and everybody's looking at, because really when you look at that calendar, that doesn't give you the traditional complete week to early vote. So there was something systemically, there's something even from the very beginning, from the time the calendar was put together, that was incorrect. Because early voting for the runoff, if you look at all the paperwork from the Secretary of State's office, early voting is supposed to begin on November 30th, which is a Friday. Then you have the election day, December the 4th, which is actually a Tuesday. Well, you have Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, then Tuesday becomes the election day. So, Fred, that in and of itself, from the very beginning, when the election season started, was somebody didn't do their job from the Secretary of State's office.
Or someone did do their job.
There you go.
Get ready to say the
there
same thing, because we're looking at, if you're talking about their voting on early voting starts on the 30th, that's a Friday. And if they're mailing their ballots in, if you're mailing it in on a Friday, Saturday and Sunday, the post office is not doing anything. Monday, gets there. And so what, are they going to count those ballots after the 4th so that even if the 4th, December would be the date for the runoff election, the votes that came in from the 30th, would they start counting those men on the 4th? Because they have to be delivered. So you're talking
the way the law is
so
written, y'all have to hop. I've got to get on a call in Florida. I'm sorry, Joan. I'll turn it back over to you in a second. The way the law is written is that as long as it's postmarked, then it's supposed to be counted. That's why there's a process that's called certification, and certification takes place several days after the election, and that's to allow for ballots to come in after the actual election day, ballots, mail-in ballots, especially for military and overseas people. And so generally, the election's not close enough. In Georgia, it hasn't been close enough in 20, really, I don't know, ever. I don't think we've ever had one this close.
Yeah, almost 30 some years.
So it hasn't been an issue. Yeah. So
okay,
this is the
so
first
today
time
being the 9th of December, that means that from today on, I'm sorry, the 9th of November, that means that there's basically 2-3 weeks to get the word out to anybody less in the military or overseas or whatever that they have, that there's a runoff and they have to get their absentee ballot or mail-in ballot completed and mailed in and postmarked by the 30th.
But see,
how do we get the word to
Sandy,
those people?
Well, Sandy,
and y'all,
therein also, the ballot hasn't even been printed yet. The absentee ballot hasn't been printed yet. So all of this is very time sensitive, and it's really after Tuesday, when the election is certified as to whether there will be a runoff or a winner, then Tuesday, 12 o'clock that night, I suppose the Secretary of State would then get the lead out, start printing the absentee ballots, make them available.
Hold on. I have to run.
I'm sorry.
Okay,
I've got to hop on a call real quick to Florida, but I want to say
thank
you all.
Thank you, Fred.
I had a great time out here.
Thank you, Fred.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Excuse me. This is Karima. So let me just kind of clarify some things. We were on a call with Stacey Abrams' team today, and I asked the question of what do I tell everybody? So one of the things, you guys are right about one thing, and on Tuesday, of course, you're right about that. But the law states that on November 20th, the state will certify November 20th. That's when they certify the election. Only until that date. Those are the two critical dates that we have. And what's been shared with me also is that
it's just that I'm just remembering my own situation, because I was that 15-year-old girl. And for me, when I think back to what I said to myself today, being an advocate and being, you know, someone that goes around and speak about what not to do, I did all of those what not to do. That's why they easy for me.
Do we have another conversation?
When I was 15, and for me, what made me keep on
hello?
Fear.
Hello?
Karima?
Fear for him or what?
Karima? Karima?
We muted them. So what I was saying was November 20th is when the state certifies. So I wanted to interrupt for a second about that. But then we had some callers in from that just all dropped off that called in from a 651, this guy now. We got 706 area code, that's the one. 706 area code. That's joined the discussion. Person from 706 area code, state your name and where you're calling from. Okay, we have a second 706 area code, state your name and where you're calling from. And then we have the other person that was holding the whole conversation by themselves. We can't bring them back into the show. But we're going to take a break. If you guys just to air out for a moment, you're listening to the election 2018, the aftermath, what's next. As we come back to the show, we'll be talking a little bit more about with Ms. Jo Sewell and Sandy Pruitt, and get some more comments coming into this thing. So we'll be right back. You're listening to WMRDB, the woman's station.
Atlanta, Minneapolis, Nashville, and everywhere else.
Sandy, you're on there.
Yeah.
To vote.
Of course. I am not throwing away my opportunity to make my voice heard this November.
If we really want our voices to be heard, we need to vote in every election, not just for president, but for every office, school board, state house, senate, all of them. Can you help me get people registered?
Okay, I'm already on it.
Well, keep up the good work.
Let's see who else we can get on this.
Yo, Lynn, what up?
Chris, we're looking to field a full team to make sure every American casts their ballot this November. It's real easy from your phone or tablet to get the info you need to vote. Also, Michelle said so.
Well, I'm on it. There's no off-season for getting out to vote. Call Janelle.
No, not now. I'm registering voters. Hey, take this. 4 million Americans turn 18 this year. That's huge. And we need every last one of them to register and vote. Because let's be real. It's going to be the young people of this generation that will change the world.
It's time. Our nation requires it. Our democracy in the country we love requires our attention, voice, and participation.
When we vote, we prove that we are democracy with the government of the people and by the people.
So every community we visit, it's important for them to know they can really make a difference if they go and vote in every election.
Absolutely.
So we're asking for your help. Help us start a conversation across America about being active participants and our most basic American responsibility, voting. Talk to your friends and family and neighbors. Tell them your hopes and dreams for your family, your community, and our country. When we all vote, we determine our future.
The new look and feel of radio.
Welcome back to the election 2018, the aftermath. What is next? That is the question. There's some trending topics that's out there that I wanted to go over in this discussion. There were some questions that's been asked, and so these are the questions, ladies, that are online. Why is Brian Kemp rushing to declare himself the winner, even as additional votes come in that could change the outcome? That's question one. Why is Brian Kemp rushing to declare himself the winner after pledging to count remaining votes on yesterday's morning? And then number three is, how regularly will Brian Kemp continue to update the result pages of his website as additional votes come in, even if those results are not positive for him? Why has Brian Kemp not made the county breakdown of provisional ballots available to the media as he is required to do? These are the whys for the second part of what's next, the aftermath. Lady?
Okay, Karima, you said we had some callers on the line?
Yes.
Yeah,
did.
Those are the questions.
Okay, Joe, can you answer any of those questions?
Go
ahead, Karima, we got callers.
Yes, ma'am, we got callers from 651. Area code, Nashville.
Nashville, you're on the line.
Okay, we got a caller from 706.
Let's go.
Hello?
Okay, so,
Am I in Nashville? No, this is 706.
Okay, 706, introduce yourself.
Okay, first of all, I'd like to say hello to my sister. This is Les Morton in Augusta, Georgia.
Hey,
and
my brother.
How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
I was listening to the show. I have a comment and a question. My comment is there's something behind Brian Kemp's attempt to delay the results and declare himself a winner all at the same time. There's something behind that, and that's something I think that the people in the Democratic Party needs to really take a look at. The second thing is, what is the strategy from this point on? Because if Democrats continue to go in the direction that they're going, this is going to be the norm in elections. So it was a comment and a question all at the same time.
Joe, can you answer his question?
Well, I think first of all, we as Democrats have to have a hard look at how we communicate with people and how we energize people and how we motivate people. The shift has changed. Millennials, even methods of voting, we're going to have to try to press for immediate registration. We're going to have to, we now in DeKalb County have a totally Democratic slate. We're going to have to start looking at laws that can make it easier to register to vote. We're also going to have to hold accountable the people that we elect, that they present some of this legislation so it can be voted on by the people. But it goes all the way back to, come December the 4th, we're going to have to elect a Secretary of State that has voting rights top of mind. And we as a people are going to have, not only Democrats, but we as a people are going to have to understand voting every election matters. It is historical that we have these many people voting in an off-election year, and they're only really doing it, people are quote-unquote woke, because we have such an egregious administration right now. But in DeKalb County, for instance, we only had 62.87% of the registered voters to vote.
Well, I want to go back to something that you said earlier. Excuse me for cutting you off. I want to go back to something you said earlier, and it's about communication. One of the biggest problems that I saw in this particular election is that, and I'm just using Democrats because I'm a registered Democrat, is that information got out far too late. A lot of people on some of the legislations, for instance, that people were voting on, they didn't know what they were voting on. And then, of course, some of the candidates really didn't start campaigning until looks like the last minute. In this particular area of Augusta, there were candidates, case in point would be like John Barrow, for instance. We didn't know what office John Barrow was really running for until maybe a week or 2 weeks into the election. So communication is key. If I think that you want people to come out and vote more strategically, I think information needs to be made available a lot earlier than what is being made. And not only that, some of the information is so confusing that people really can't see a difference in certain senses of the word based upon advertisement and marketing, can't see the difference between the Republicans, what they're saying, and the Democrats, which is almost saying the same thing, except it's a negative point towards the Republican candidate. So when we look at that, people are confused. I think we need to be a more grassroots type of organization to get out and make information available, even if it means nothing more than having a few town hall meetings before elections and really explaining to people where these candidates stand, instead of just having the candidates to pop in like 2 weeks before the elections, say something, blow in, blow up, and blow out.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. I agree, and full disclosure, that's my brother, and he and I have had these discussions numerous times. And that's what it's coming down to, because if only 62%, 63% and 60%, from 60% to 63% of the registered voters in the major metropolitan counties of a state, if 30%, 35% of them don't choose to vote, well, then you're behind the eight ball even to begin with. And it's even like we're talking now with the runoff date. Okay, if we're going to have a runoff, when are we going to start? When are we going to start talking to people and telling them, well, don't do absentee ballots, but get your ride ready to go to the poll? Which poll? The poll at the early voting place, or the poll around the corner from your house at the school? We need to start giving people information like that now.
Absolutely. That's a part of the strategy.
And where does that information come from? I tend to think we need to go back to the churches, the churches, the baseball fields, the PTA meetings. You know, you don't have to name a candidate. You don't have to declare a party. But information ought to be able to be disseminated throughout these places where people gather.
Once you get that information out, people like Kemp, the question Karima asked earlier, Karima, could you repeat that question that you asked about Kemp, him being able to hide the ballots or do something with the ballots? What was that comment?
So these are the trending questions. Why is Brian Kemp rushing to declare himself the winner, even as an additional votes come in that could change the outcome? Why is Brian Kemp rushing to declare himself the winner after pledging to count the remaining votes? And how regularly is he really updating the results on his website, on his page, as the additional votes come in? Why has not Brian Kemp not only made the county breakdowns provisional ballots available to the media? And those are the trending questions that's out there.
Karima, at this point, and I have to be really, really clear about this, you cannot dictate to a person how their job is supposed to be performed. There is no legal law on the book at this point in Georgia that says Brian Kemp has to perform his job this way, this way, this way. Unfortunately, there was no law on the books that said he had to resign when he became governor. That's why he chose to stay. The only remedy and the answer to the question is, right now, we do have the ACLU, the NAACP, and several other groups that are filing lawsuits because we are finding out some of the things that have been done, like dropping the ballots never getting this, electrical cords not being sent, Those are, how can I call them, old Jim Crow tactics with a modern day spin. And somebody, and thank goodness, I did hear this, you know, FBI was sent here to kind of oversee the election process, I know in Fulton County and one other county. So they are going to be looking at some of these things. You know, people standing in line for 3 hours with three polling machines for all those votes. You're supposed to have X number polling machines for X number voters. And that wasn't done. And so we just, unfortunately, we're going to have to wait till this thing plays out. But I am convinced with some of the egregious things that have happened, because we had lawyers all over this state, as in other states, watching the process. And people's experiences are going to be documented. And I believe when Stacey says, regardless of the outcome, she says it's not about her. She is not going to let 60, 70, 30, whatever, 12,000, two people vote be disenfranchised. Not on this watch. I think we have a person running for governor, and this is a personal opinion, but I think it bears out, that regardless of how this election comes out, she is going to fight, because she fought to get almost a million folk registered to vote. So she's not going to let those people down. One way or the other, I think this young lady is going to make sure that voters, that if you are disenfranchised, that that's going to be a price to pay for that. And I'm willing to stand with her, along with, hopefully, if she's not governor, the Secretary of State, John Barrow, to make sure that this never happens again in Georgia. Now, that's, you know, but we got to do our part, too. We got to come back out. If there is a runoff, we got to come back out. I don't care if you crawl, swim, however you do it, rain, shine, sleet, or snow. Whenever those dates are, we've got to do it. We've got to do it. Our very lives depend on it, you all. Health care in Georgia, Medicaid, opening the hospitals, securing Social Security.
But what you're saying, y'all, in answer to Karima's question, is that there are, there are no guidelines to what to the job of the Secretary of State. No guidelines to say how certain things should be handled. Is that what you're saying? And because there are no guidelines, he can do, or not just him, anyone who's the Secretary of State can pretty much do whatever they want to do, because there are no guidelines. Am I understanding you correctly?
There are guidelines, but they're so subject by who's the party in charge. And who the person is that's in the job. It's just like on the national level. There are no guidelines for some of the things that our president is doing, but whoever thought he would do X, Y, Z? And that's like Brian Kemp. There have been other people who have been secretaries of state who have run for governor, and they have immediately resigned, both Republican and Democrat, and they have both resigned to run. He chose not to. Why? When the FBI called him back in 2016 and told them, hey, something might be wrong with your voting machine, we can come down and help you. He told them, no, no thanks, we got this. Well, now we know that it was. So, no, there were no guidelines that he had to take. No, there were none. He had to take that recommendation. No. There weren't.
This is Karima. Let me just give you an update on what's been sent to me about what Stacy's team is doing. So the legal team is made up of they told us in the conference call press release, the press conference call, was that they had geared up for this fight going into the election. They knew it was going to be a lot of different things going on, so they would already create a legal team, and that legal team is now challenging that all votes are counted, and they went with a total of, I think it's four things. One thing was a complaint being filed in Daugherty County. The campaign is filing a complaint in the U.S. District Court in Middle Georgia asking for an injunction to the Board of Elections to count all the absentee votes between 7 p.m. Election Day and the close of business on Friday. We just got an email a moment ago stating that they got the injunction, so that is a stay for that. So that's a victory as of today, that they've had two federal judges sign off on the injunction, and there is a list, there's a copy of that injunction on the Stacey Abrams website. So the other thing was the impact of Hurricane Michael, which is that it impacted South Georgia. And where their mail had been routed in Tallahassee, which suffered severe damages. Just like you were saying, these ballots have been delayed because of the storm, and the factors remain. Just like you said, Ms. Jo, is where are those ballots at? They want to know. They're indicating that they never showed up, like you just said.
Right.
That's what's happening with the legal action. And then the main thing is that they're looking for a preservation to hold request. The campaign is formally requesting that all counties preserve any and all documents that may pertain to the elections on November 6th. And then the last two things is that the absentee ballots they're investigating multiple cases of students about what they've been doing with the Secretary of State and not getting their responses, and the Abrams provisional ballot campaign, where they're challenging that the questions are really unclear, and the directives of that is unclear, coming from the Secretary of State office. Something was scribbled down on a handwritten note, they said. And then the legal team is made up of John Chandler, which is a retired Sutherland, Benin and Spalding partner with 40 years of experience, Elizabeth Belt, Allegra Hardy, and Daryl Linderborn, and Kurt Kostovoff. These are some real names up in here. And all of these have U.S. Congressional Campaign, Voting Rights Project, things like that. So she came with a dream team, and that's why she's been kind of silent, because everything is in the courts. What they're trying to
do is
stop the 159 counties from certifying those ballots because of the discrepancy in all the counties. And as it just mentioned, that one county, Coffee County, which is a Republican county, just found 1,000 provisional votes that were not counted.
And see, that's
so
crazy.
He's not just messing with just one group of people. He's messing with the entire, I don't know the word, the entire state. Yes. So
The entire state and the entire process.
Mm-hmm.
That he is circumventing the entire process. And you can't stop somebody from doing stupid. I mean, because some of the things he's doing are really egregiously just not legal. And that's what I indicated on the 13th, on Tuesday. You know, I don't know when the date's going to be, but I'm hoping, as a layperson, grassroots person, when this lady gets ready to certify these votes, that all of these legal minds can hold up to the court and say, hey, you got to stop this. You got to stop this stuff right now until every vote. Because even today, there were two deadlines for all those provisional ballots to be counted. It first started off, actually it was three. At first it started off at 4:30, then it started off at 5, and then it got extended to 8. And so people were still, and just like you said, they just found all of these provisional ballots in a county a few minutes ago, and it's 9 o'clock. So they're finding things, and so I have, and I'm going to go back to this, I have the utmost of confidence in Stacey's campaign and the legal minds that she has employed, because I think in another email, she sent out and said, I am committed that everybody that voted, their votes will count. Or she's not gonna, it's gonna be not, I just don't think it's just gonna go, just, oh well, we're gonna close up like Kemp decided, oh, I'm already the governor and we still counting votes. No, you can't do that. And least anybody in the audience thinks that or feels like he can do it. He is not the governor. It don't work that way.
He got a strong suit. So we're going to have to take a break for a minute to pay a couple of bills. If you guys can hold on, we're going to play a couple commercials, pay a bill, get a word from our sponsor, and we will be back in about 2 seconds here.
Okay.
Welcome to Loving Care Family Chiropractic, a state-of-the-art chiropractic family facility for the entire family, owned and operated by Dr. Ebony Hornbuckle Preston. Allow her to love your spine so you can get back to enjoying your life. Through the touch of her hands, your pain will flee, giving you the freedom to enjoy your best life. Her concern is not just your spinal health, but your total health. She will show you natural and holistic remedies that can alleviate many injuries and various types of pain. Work with her and you'll feel stronger and healthier after every visit as you begin to enjoy the new you. Make your appointment today. They're located at 5336 East Mountain Street, Stone Mountain, Georgia, 30083, or call at 678-884-3778. We're also available on the web at www.lovingcarechiropractic.com. We are Loving Care Family Chiropractic. Let us love your spine.
You have a quick word from our sponsor for today. We have our sponsor, Mrs. Marcy Butler, the Sony Butler. Ms. Butler,
is the co-author of The Black Side of the Vietnam War book, a story by Marshall Robert Daniel Butler Sr. Ms. Butler, welcome to the show real quick. Tell everybody about what's going on with The Black Side of Vietnam War.
How you doing? Well, you know, I mentioned before, this book is about my husband's story, what he went to when he was in Vietnam, all he had to do, what he had to do to survive. He had to see discrimination, racial discrimination. He had to do different things that he had to experience during the war. It was very difficult for him in those days. And he had to do different things in the war to survive, to stay alive. So we want people to see what black people have to face. We see many experiences, many movies that we see about white and what they see and what they had to do in Vietnam. But for white, for black people, it was a very different experience. So we want this book to be able to be portrayed what black people have to experience during the war, which it was different from what white had to experience. So I hope this book let people experience that, what my husband had to go through.
And he wrote this book not for, only for one person.
Well, you know, I was mentioned to you before, our children, we have small kids at this point, and every time he said Vietnam, they run. So we wrote this book for the children, from the when they grow up, they can see what their father went through. So it's have that as a memory for them to read it when they get older and they be able to see what their father went through during the war. It's a lot of things. We're trying to be specific. It's not a book to kind of bore you or anything like that. It's kind of right to the point. It's not everything that is that he went through, but he had the more significant fights that he went through, the more significant people in his life, what he means to. You got things that sometimes that you laugh, something that was funny, something that make you angry. I think that it covers all the emotions that you have in that book, and I think that people will enjoy it. It's significant. And it's the feedback that I have from those who have read the book is very positive. People enjoy it, and I think that everybody who had the chance to read it will be able to enjoy it as well.
That's right. The Black Side of Vietnam, the story by Mr. Marshall Robert Daniel Butler, our sponsor for today. Yes. And we want to thank you all. His story and his interview will be on Sunday night on this station. At 8 o'clock, so y'all tune in. Thank you, Ms. Brown.
Thank you so much. Okay, have a good night. Bye-bye.
The new look and feel of radio.
Welcome back, you guys, to the Election 28, the aftermath. We are talking with a woman that has blown my everlasting mind, Miss Jo Hardy Stuell. This woman has been, she's seen it all, and she knows their plan, their plot, and she's seen it before. And she can tell you, because a lot of us can't explain what is going on. And you have brought it.
I am absolutely passionate because I have seen this before. It's ridiculous. You can almost see it coming down the road. It's like watching the rain come down the road. You can smell the rain before you see it. Okay.
Oh,
and
man.
You can smell
this. So politically correct. I can tell you that. You can see it. You can smell it coming. If you didn't lay it out,
you can smell
like,
it coming.
Do we have some other callers on the line? I'm getting messages that Joyce, are you on the line? Hello?
Yeah, there's a couple.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I'm on the line. Hi, how y'all doing?
Hi, Joyce, how are you doing?
Good. My question is, we realize that it is a problem with the with camp. Is anybody working on trying to already fix a law or something that when anyone in this state is going to run for a position and they are holding one, especially in the situation we're in right now, that they cannot do it? Is anybody trying to work on those things? Can the federal government or somebody else step in and take over? Because it's obvious that the governor is friends with him. Is there anything we can do?
Well, Joyce, the quick answer and the most concise answer is yes, there is something we could do. We could have voted our different county, state representatives. And see, that's what happens again in off elections. Our state representatives go down to the Capitol. They become our representatives for the laws. Right now, the Republicans are in charge of the state. The good news is here in DeKalb County, I don't know what county you live in, but we just elected an entire slate of Democrats that represent DeKalb County. All the 16 House representatives are now Democrats. And we unseated two Republicans that were trying to change the whole county. Two Republicans were trying to change the entire county against 14 other Democrats. So whatever county you're in, it is important that you know your state representative. And your state representative then begins to put bills forward that affect your state election, that could put forward ethics rules and this, that, and the other. But until you get a Democratic majority or reasonable Republicans that can vote bipartisanly on legislation, that's how laws are made. No, the federal government is not going to come to Georgia. Even if President Obama had been president, he could not come to Georgia and say, you have to have an ethical Secretary of State. No. It starts with us. You got that?
Did that answer your question, Joyce?
Yes. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome, dear. Well, Joyce, I'm curious. What county do you live in?
DeKalb.
Okay, all right.
You
probably know all the same people I know. And so they represent us. Okay?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Sandy, were there other questions?
I don't know. Come in right there. Any other callers on the line? Hello?
So we got Demonica from St. Paul, Minnesota that's been holding for a while. I'm not sure she's got any questions, but she's been on the phone for a minute.
Okay. Do you have any comments, anything you want to add to the conversation? St. Paul?
I'm just listening to the show and enjoying what I'm hearing.
Okay, well, welcome
to
the show.
Great, thank you. You guys
just had
a big election. St. Paul, you guys just had a big election up there in Minnesota as well.
Yes, we did.
Didn't you guys turn some major Republican seats that had been that way for a long time?
Well, we have Tim Walz, Democratic, and Tina's last name, Smith.
Kenneth Smith. Yeah, and then we actually are making history right now because although it's going to be, what is it, the Democratic nominees, but then it's still a Republican, what is it, Republican council. It's going to be a little bit different. But he said that he's going to make some major decisions and hopefully everybody can come together and make some things happen. As I was telling Kareem, a lot of things have changed already here in Minnesota for the worse.
Right.
But I'm so glad that this happened and he won.
Well, anytime our governmental system, which is what just happened in the House, we have to have a check and balance. You know, you have the executive branch, the judiciary branch, and you have the legislative branch.
Mm-hmm.
And anytime, and that's the way the fathers saw it. Anytime you have, and I'm talking about nationally or even locally,
mm-hmm.
you can't have everybody be in the same party with no check and
yeah.
balance. Everybody just loses
mm-hmm.
their mind. And then we as the people have to hold those folks accountable. We,
right.
we really do.
Wait a minute.
We have to hold.
Ms. Joy. Hold on.
I'm sorry.
Hold on.
Sorry.
Did you say losing their mind? That's the question.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I wanted to say like my Southern mother and Sandy's Southern mother would say, losing their starnated mind. You know, I never
yeah.
knew what Mama said meant by that, but they just lost their mind. It's like how
yeah.
in the world? I mean, and we should not be surprised. We should not be surprised at what's happening. What we should be is a little bit embarrassed. I say to some of my Democratic colleagues and fellow workers in the, you know, it took Donald Trump to wake some of us off of our school of do nothing. I mean, it really
right.
did.
Tell it.
And like,
yes.
and like my pastor, says, you know, we have to kind of look for good in everything. What the devil
yeah.
meant
mm-hmm.
for bad, God can turn it around to good.
That is
mm-hmm.
true. Yes. Amen.
So now the snake or the hood is uncovered because we thought they were in three-piece suits. I mean, I'm just saying. So let's not sleep anymore. Let's not sleep. And for the 35% of the folk that didn't vote,
mm-hmm.
you know, you owe it as a dude. I'm looking at some counties.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at some county numbers that went Democratic. But I'm looking at
mm-hmm.
a whole lot of counties that went red. And
mm-hmm.
two or three Democratic counties cannot carry this entire state if they're only voting at a 60 to 65% rate.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Can't do it. So.
Well, I could definitely tell you they are upset here in Minnesota. The Republicans are really upset about it.
Well, you
but
know,
they
and
just
guess
do,
what?
You know, Trump has made several visits up here, probably four visits already.
What is it? What's the quote about power?
Mm-hmm.
Power does not give up itself easily. When was the last time you ever heard somebody say, I'm going to give up my power? I'm going to give you've been an honest, good person, pat you on the head, all this, and I'm going to give you the right to excel as much as I have. When was the last time you heard somebody say that? No, you have to fight for it. It's just like Stacey said in her opening comment. You have to fight what is in this day and age, in modern society, you have to fight what is legally yours.
And I would
okay.
even say
I think
say
your brother just jumped back on here.
Okay.
I think your brother
he jumped back on.
From...
Lord have mercy. Did I get out of line, brother?
The 706 area code.
That may have been somebody else from down in Athens.
Is there a 706 on the line?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, you nailed
well,
you that one. You nailed that call for shit.
Well, I just, you know, I obviously I'm a little bit passionate. Sometimes I'm not a cool politician, and that's why I would never be a politician. I don't think I could ever win anything because I just kind of tell it like it is. But I do like to. I'm an issues person, and what's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong, and we just got to level the playing field, and we got, like my brother and I were talking earlier, we got to get the information to people so that they understand, because right now, it's just like the lady from Minnesota said, people are angry for one thing and other people are angry for others. I know people who are upset and afraid because they can't get their medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having to decide whether they buy food for their children or walk in the rain, you know, to a martyr bus. I mean, it's, they can't afford a car because they can't afford the insurance. They let the light bill run up. You know, we had, and I think that's another race that might even be real close, Public Service Commission jobs. We had two young ladies, as a matter of fact, she is, Lindy Miller, Public Service Commissioner, is in the runoff also on the Democratic ticket. Now, the Public Service Commissioner set the rates on our utility bill. And that position has been held by Republican white men for almost 35 years. And that's why Georgia Power charges you a rate that's ridiculous.
And I think you answered the question. Why did he step down? Why did he step down? Because if he would, just like Donald Trump, if he kept on doing what he was doing, the people that left are going to get nasty.
Might be
because
in jeopardy.
People are angry.
We might just wake up and realize, hey. So that's why.
We didn't get him, but we can get the rest of them.
There you go. That's my point. That if we get nothing out of this phone call, we must understand that Stacey is going to fight for every vote. But we also must understand that there are two other people on the runoff ticket that could directly impact our lives for generations to come. And who,
you know,
could also...
Leslie, your brother was saying something earlier about people not being educated about the issues that's going on. They're not just uneducated about the issues, but also about the different positions that people are running for. People don't understand, like you said, what the job of the Public Service Commissioner is. They don't understand what the job of the Secretary of State is. They don't understand what the duties of the Public Utilities Commissioner is. You know, for the DA, I've had conversations with people, and they talk about doing something about the police. We need to do something about the police because too many people are going to jail. And I had to get people to start understanding you need to vote. Your DA is an elected official. And
that's
your
right.
DA is the person who makes the decision whether to press charges. The only thing the police does is arrest you.
It's arrest.
The DA makes the decision whether to press the charges or not. And if you have a DA that's sitting in office that doesn't understand who you are as a person, who you are as a people, who you are as a culture, then you're going to always have to stand trial. If you look at why this young man who, the white young boy who raped the people, and they said the DA decided not to press charges, or they just decided that this is the only thing that they were going to do. They even told the judge, we don't want him to mess up. We don't want to mess up his
life.
He's just a young man. But an exact same young black man with the same age, with the exact same charges, the DA throws the book at him. You know,
the young black man
is just the judge, and it's not just the judge. And a lot of your judges, most of your judges, are elected officials. So you have, you know, when you're if you're thinking about voting, you're not just voting for your president. You're not just voting for the mayor. You're not just voting for the governor. You're voting for the people that has a direct impact on your life.
On your life.
Day in and day out.
And day out. Absolutely.
You know,
we're
going to have to call it. We're going to have to call it a night. We got 3 minutes left. I think we're going to ask you all to pick this up next week. We're going to talk about it again next week. I'm already recruiting y'all. I know y'all loving it, but we got to get out of here.
And hopefully next week, by next Friday, we will have some real tangible evidence, because these lawsuits are going to, something is going to happen, I promise you. Something is going to happen, and it's going to happen within the next 10 days, if not sooner. I can almost bet, I don't have much money, but I can probably bet $2 or $3.
Well, I'd like to say, first of all, thank you, Karima, for this opportunity again to come on the air. And I want to thank you, Joe, for coming on and sharing your insight with us. And I want to thank all our listeners, all our callers, for being a part of the conversation.
And I thank you, ladies, for getting this information out to the public. Our people perish because of lack of knowledge. And this is another way that we can try to get our few little tidbits of knowledge out there.
All right, guys, we're going to be listening to Stacey closing out the show.
Incomes without raising taxes. Every Georgian that we have touched along the way understands the power of the vote. And I will tell you, this election has tested our faith. I'm not going to name names, but some have worked hard to take our voices away, to scare us away, to distract us. But if our vision is clear and we see the finish line. You have inspired me every single day of this campaign. I know what you sacrifice to make your way to the polls, to volunteer after work or on lunch breaks. And I know that you've put your faith in me. You'll do it again. Georgia, you put your faith in me. But I want you to know tonight, the feeling is mutual. And I want you to look around. Tonight should be all the proof you need that when we put our faith in the great people of the state, there is nothing we can't accomplish together. This fundamental truth is why we fight on, because Georgia still has a decision to make, a decision between division and trickery, or a leadership that defends your rights, your kids, your career, your community, and your right to vote in America. That's-
new look and feel of radio.